doing it right.
Any bribery, corruption, or intimidation.
To gain my election.
To gain my election.
And I will faithfully perform.
I will faithfully perform.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
And will not allow any private interest.
And will not allow any private interest.
To influence my conduct in public matters.
To influence my conduct in public matters.
Would you be so kind as to subscribe the form of oath that's in front of you? And I will take your oath as soon as it is for the chief of the jury. Now, may we ask the Alderman to stand up?
Yes.
In taking your oath of office, ladies and gentlemen, I wonder if you'd be good enough to emulate the procedure that was followed by His Worship the Mayor. That is to say, after saying the word "I," then each of you state your full name and then repeat after me the form of the oath. I,
Harry Rankin.
Alderman-elect for the City of Vancouver.
Alderman-elect for the City of Vancouver.
Make oath and say.
Make oath and say.
That I am a British subject.
That I am a British subject.
Possessing the qualifications by law required.
Possessing the qualifications by law required.
And that I am not in any way disqualified from holding the office of Alderman.
And that I am not in any way disqualified from holding the office of Alderman.
For the City of Vancouver.
For the City of Vancouver.
And I have not.
And I have not.
Nor will I have.
Nor will I have.
While holding any office.
While holding office.
Any interest.
Any interest.
Directly or indirectly.
Directly or indirectly.
In any contract.
In any contract.
Or services.
Or services.
Connected with the said city.
Connected with the said city.
Except as provided in the Vancouver Charter.
Except as provided in the Vancouver Charter.
I have not by myself.
I have not by myself.
Or by any other person.
Or any other person.
Knowingly employed.
Knowingly employed.
Any bribery, corruption, or intimidation.
Any bribery, corruption, or intimidation.
To gain my election.
To gain my election.
And I will faithfully perform the duties of my office.
And I will faithfully perform the duties of my office.
And will not allow.
And will not allow.
Any private interest.
Any private interest.
To influence my conduct in public matters.
To influence my conduct in public matters.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Would you then each individually subscribe the forms of oath, which I have been reliably informed are on your desks in front of you? And then perhaps if they can, if you first be collected, I will subscribe my name to them as taking the oath. And I'll take this away, Your Worship, if I may. Thank you.
Families and individuals of our city and of the institutions that serve the people of Vancouver. May the mayor and all the members of the council be guided in every instance by that objective, the good and well-being of our people. We pray that you will inspire them so that they will be motivated by profound respect for persons. Since the guarantee of human rights, liberty, and justice is rooted in such respect for persons. In all political decisions made by the members of this council, may they be committed to truth and integrity and guided by wisdom rather than by personal self-interest or political expediency. And in turn, may the citizens of Vancouver appreciate that our elected officials and their families do indeed make serious personal sacrifices in time and energy in giving leadership to our city. For this, may our leaders be given respect and cooperation. These things we ask through Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Your Worship. Although I had given some thought to some pretty words to say to you, it seems to me that in no way could I add anything to what His Grace had just said. And that to say anything further would be a mere anticlimax. May I then simply say, Your Worship, and to you ladies and gentlemen who as aldermen now form the council for the city of Vancouver for the next 2 years, may I say that I congratulate you most sincerely for the strenuous task that you have undertaken, and I hope, if I may express that hope, that your meetings will be amiable and conclusive. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members of council, and ladies and gentlemen, I am gratified that the people of Vancouver in re-electing me to the office of mayor have again given me a strong vote of confidence. I'll do my best to deserve that confidence. I congratulate the members of council who have been re-elected. And I welcome Alderman Helen Boyce back to the council and our new freshman, Alderman Doug Lilly. I thank former Alderman Bill Gibson and May Brown for their services to the citizens of Vancouver. I thank all our good citizens who have served voluntarily on the many boards and commissions that make up the total structure of our city government. I thank the civic chaplains who are here today for their assistance and inspiration over the past 2 years. I hope that the new council will work together in a spirit of cooperation and goodwill. There are many important decisions to be made during these next 2 years, which will have an important bearing on the future and direction of our city. There are challenges ahead that will call for courage and determination. The increasing financial burden on our taxpayers and the economic health and vitality of our city are matters that need our serious concern and attention. We've seen in these past 2 years tax revolts in many cities on this continent. The facts and conditions in most cases don't compare to those of Vancouver. We are in a good and stable condition by any comparison, including the basic comparison of how much our citizens pay in taxes. Yet there is a message in these uprisings of taxpayers, and I think it is this. We believe that governments can operate a great deal more efficiently than they do. And we believe that you can keep taxes within reasonable limits without affecting the quality and extent of public services. In fact, we insist that you do so. And I think the people are right. I believe that the public perception of government at all levels is that there's a great deal of waste and inefficiency. The tax protest is based on a genuine belief that governments can and should do most of the things they're doing, but much more efficiently, and this means at far less cost to them as taxpayers. The voice of the people should be heeded, and it should be heeded as well in Vancouver, as well as anywhere else. I think it's necessary then for us to lay down a firm financial policy which will place limitations on the extent of our budget and tax increases. There's nothing easier than spending public money. The challenge is in restraining ourselves. I'm recommending a financial policy for the next 2 years that will have the following elements. First, general tax increases for all classes of property for the next 2 years should be held at less than one-half the rate of inflation. This will impose a predetermined lid on any tax increase, and we'll simply have to live within the means that are available to us. This will require labor efficiency at all levels and in all departments, as well as a strict limit on budget increases. In practical terms, I think this should allow us to avoid any increase in the mill rate this year, and it should mean that the total budget increase for 1979 will be less than 5%. That is our general purposes budget. Two, the amount of our capital spending from our annual budget should be cut back, what we call our supplementary capital fund. And I believe that this can be done by at least $2 million in the current year. We should also impose a lid on our annual capital spending as a matter of policy. And I would recommend that this be not more than 4% of our total budget in any one year, or an equivalent mill rate limitation. This would have amounted to about $7 million last year, whereas we spent $9.3 million in these supplementary capital funds. Three, business taxes should be somewhat reduced in 1979 to help ease the burden on business properties that has largely been brought about by the new assessment legislation. This can be done without shifting any further load on the residential properties. Rental values on commercial properties are expected to inflate by about 10% in this coming year. Therefore, we can consider a reduction in the rate of the business tax without any serious loss of revenue from that source. Four, our activities in certain fields, including planning, have increased very considerably in recent years, and I would recommend that these be closely reviewed and reduced. Five, there should be a critical examination of each and every program financed by the city as to whether it can be justified or continue to be justified as a proper use of taxpayers' money. In general terms, we should also assume these further objectives: a conservative and fiscally responsible budgeting attitudes, continue to press for fair and equitable cost-sharing arrangements with the province in regard to health and police costs. Three, continue to improve the financial strength of our city. Four, work towards obtaining a AAA credit rating and make our presentation to the rating agencies in New York in late 1979. An improvement of our rating can mean savings of many tens of thousands of dollars in annual interest costs on capital borrowings. Five, consciously assist the development and strengthening of our city's economy. These general guidelines and more specific policy recommendations will be placed before the Finance Committee for its consideration at an early date. I made a brief reference to police costs, and I add the following comment. Our Chief Constable is not placing before us this year a request for additional manpower. I am right on that, am I not, Chief? But we will not be able to avoid facing an increase inevitably next year. Vancouver taxpayers are continuing to pay more than a fair share of policing costs. And I therefore urge the province to approve and implement as soon as possible the recommendations of the task force on the subject, so that we can afford to give our citizens the kind of policing and protection that they deserve. Even with the insufficient resources and manpower that they now have, I give our police force credit for doing an excellent job in our city. There's another matter of vital importance that we should continue to press on the provincial government, and that relates to the burden of school costs on our property taxes. The position of municipal governments in this province over many years has been to urge the provincial government to remove this burden totally. I have supported that position consistently, and I'm going to ask this council to take a strong stand in reaffirming this position. To most of our taxpayers, it's the bottom line on the tax bill that counts, and it includes tax, school taxes, over which we as a council have no present control. I want to emphasize that there are two facets to the situation. One being the fact that the proportionate burden of education costs on property owners is actually being increased. The other is our concern over increasing school budgets, which are far exceeding increases in our general municipal budgets. I want to emphasize There has to be a new approach to this whole subject of financing education. And I call on the province for determined action in the matter of this year. Our city economy is in reasonable shape, but it could be better. There are areas of retail activity which are in some difficulty. There's a general decrease in housing starts, but still an overall improvement in the housing situation. There's a slowdown in the construction industry, but some of the projects on our drawing boards will do a great deal to help the health of that industry if we can bring them into reality. I would also like to see us develop, and it could be done within the space of this year, a major new industrial park in Vancouver in the southeast sector. There's a vital need for us to encourage and attract new industries to our city, and this particular matter is under discussion with the provincial government. This is one of the important priorities of our new Economic Development Office, and I emphasize this would desirably be an industrial park for research and technological clean industries. I've spoken in the past 2 years about the need for us to be concerned about the economic viability and well-being of our central city, our downtown area, in a context where there seems to be some disagreement or misunderstanding of the policy of the Greater Vancouver Regional District. I will not support any plan or policy that will encourage the loss or outflow of people and jobs from our city. I make this very clear to my colleagues in the GVRD. If we are talking the same language, that is the orderly direction and sharing of new growth, then I'm with them. If they're talking about the decentralization of industry and commerce and job opportunities out of Vancouver and into their own municipalities, then they'll find me totally opposed. The GVRD will face a critical test these next 2 years about its proper role, its usefulness, and its future. This will depend to a large extent on its ability to comprehend the need to have regard for the health and well-being of all municipalities within the area, including the city of Vancouver. I've spoken on matters having to do with the hard facts of finance and economics. I would not want to give the impression to anyone that the role of government is only in the area of fiscal services. I've always regarded our support for the arts and our role in their activities as being an important part of our public responsibility and an important part of our cultural and economic being. While I've spoken of certain limits in spending that will undoubtedly have to take place in certain areas, I feel that we have reached a reasonable and responsible level of funding for the arts, which I feel should be maintained. The cultural health and vitality of our community are in many ways related to our economic health and vitality. I intend to take an active role in these next 2 years with our Committee on the Arts in trying to achieve various objectives: to seek more private support for the arts, to help develop more audiences and self-support, to establish Vancouver as the festival city of this continent, just as Edinburgh, our sister city, has established this reputation on an international level. And fourthly, to bring the arts more fully into focus and make them more readily accessible to children, the elderly, the disadvantaged. We have to recognize the fact that arts are not for the privileged, but for the many in our community. There's no question but that the provision of fast and convenient public transit is a key to the development of the Greater Vancouver area. In fact, it is, of course, an integral part of the regional district plan. We've moved ahead in a positive direction this past year, although progress has been slow. We are nearing a time when our engineering studies for light rapid transit will be completed and cost estimates will be determined. We are then nearing the time for decision making, and I believe that the basic decisions can be made within the next 6 months. If the cost estimates turn out to be close to our present assumptions, then obviously we'll have to address ourselves to the question of financing. And this is something that will be negotiated with the new Urban Transit Authority and with the provincial government to determine how the cost can be raised and shared. to comment briefly on some ideas that have been advanced recently. I personally do not believe that an experimental mind will help us learn anything. And I also feel it would be unwise to spend any large amount of money in upgrading our bus system. These proposals, in my view, would only delay the implementation of a rapid transit system and use up resources that should go into that system. I also reiterate my personal support for an Arbutus line that will serve the west side of the city and the Richmond area. The line could be made perfectly compatible with the residential areas it would serve, without noise problems, and without any lessening of property values, and more likely, an increase in those values. And so we're nearing the time for important decisions on this question of transit. The matter will require strong leadership and determination on the part of the council. I've stated that I would be proposing to the council the appointment of a commission to look at the matter of governmental reform. This would be in the interest of considering changes that may lead to more efficient and effective and responsible government. In my view, the commission should be an independent one, as far as we can make it. That is not directly involving members of the present council, but of course providing full opportunity for everyone to express their views. I'll shortly present to the council a list of citizens who I think would be well qualified and experienced to give this matter their objective consideration and guidelines for their work. I propose that the terms of reference of the commission would cover the following matters: the question of a ward system, the size of council, the length of term and frequency of elections, qualifications for candidacy, the role and powers of the mayor, voter registration and voter qualifications, special committees and commissions, their role and usefulness, the use of initiatives, referenda and plebiscites, the election date and date of swearing in, the size of the park board and whether it should continue as an elected board. In the year ahead of us, we'll also be dealing with specific projects which have a great deal of importance to our city and its well-being. I believe that we're close to coming to agreement with the provincial government on the outstanding issues relating to a trade and convention center. I'll report on this matter to the council at its first business meeting on January 9th, and I hope we can make a positive decision at that time. We can then proceed to make our presentation to the federal government, and we fully expect the federal government to respond favorably. Among other considerations, we look on this project as being a vitally important one for the redevelopment of our waterfront. Here we are, with the grandeur of our mountains and harbor, but with much of our waterfront a disgrace. We're asking for no more than the same kind of federal aid being extended to the ports of Toronto, Montreal, Quebec City, and St. John's. As far as this project is concerned, I believe that the necessary decisions on all political levels can be made by the end of February. The PNE has a vital role to play in our community, and it's necessary that we assist the PNE to fulfill its plans for redevelopment. This includes the proposal for a new stadium, which is unquestionably needed in our city. While we talk about the activities that make a great city, we must recognize the importance of professional and amateur sports in our community. Yes, I'd very much like to see Vancouver become a major league city in many sports. The subject of the PNE's multiplex proposal will come before council again at our first business meeting for reconsideration of the previous resolution of council. I'll be recommending that the council approve the PNE as the appropriate location for the new stadium. Vancouver's centennial year is only a few years away, and I think it's time now to look ahead to 1986. Our approach to our centennial is an opportunity for us to plan ahead, not only for the festivities that should match the occasion, but also new projects that will bring lasting benefits to our city. And we can properly expect the participation of the provincial and federal governments. To this end, I propose the establishment of a special centennial committee to plan ahead starting this year. I'll present specific recommendations on the makeup and terms of reference of the committee within the next month. Having some relation also to our centennial year, I'm recommending that our city go on record as making a bid for 1987's Pan American Games. We have not had a major event of this kind in Vancouver since the British Empire Games in 1954. The Council agrees that I will intend to pursue the matter vigorously in association with the province. As we have regard to the few years ahead of us, let's also give consideration to establishing a real and identifiable civic government presence in downtown Vancouver. There is now a massive provincial presence downtown, and soon we hope that the new federal building project will also proceed. I think that a visible civic governmental presence is also very important, because the fact of the matter is that the retail and business community in downtown Vancouver continue to feel a certain physical remoteness to the people at Polk and Cambie. And after all, downtown Vancouver is the heart of our city, and we should have a presence there. I've spoken for the years immediately ahead of us, but what is to be the greater destiny of our city? What kind of a city do we want for ourselves and our children 20 and 30 years from now? We've completed the first phase of important work in this regard, which was undertaken by the City Planning Commission. This report on future goals for Vancouver will be presented to the members of council at a special meeting this month. This marks the first concerted effort to define overall objectives for the city's future, and it is having the full involvement of the citizens of our city. I would like to see this work fully completed by the end of the year. Members of council and ladies and gentlemen, there's no other city on this continent, perhaps not in the world, that has greater promise and potential than the city of Vancouver. In these next 2 years, we have an opportunity to direct our city to its promising future and to its great destiny. It's a matter of confidence, and it's a matter of will. I thank you very much for your attention today. Mr. Clerk, would you wish to call the roll?
Your Worship, excuse me, Your Worship, may I move a motion to receive your address, please?
Thank you.
Second, Your Worship.
Alderman Boyce, second Alderman Bellamy. All in favor? Against? Carried.
Roll call will be as follows. The Chair, Alderman Bellamy.
Present.
Alderman Boyce.
Present.
Alderman Ford.
Present.
Alderman Gerard.
Present.
Alderman Harcourt.
Present.
Alderman Kennedy.
Present.
Alderman Little.
Here.
Alderman Rosati.
Present.
Alderman Pugh.
Present.
Alderman Rankin.
Present.
Thank you. The subject of appointments to standing committees, is there a motion to approve?
I would move your appointment, sir, as voted for today.
Seconded?
Seconded.
Alderman Gerard. On question, all in favor? Against? Carried. The appointments to boards and commissions. And may I just add this before asking for a mover and seconder. If there are members of the council who would like to have some change or like to be relieved of certain responsibility, they can see me during the next week and the changes can be made. In the meantime, we have a motion to approve.
I would approve the appointments to the boards and commissions.
Thank you, Alderman Kennedy. Seconder?
Second.
Seconded, Alderman Pugh. All in favor? Against? Carried. The appointment of deputy mayors.
Move the appointment of the deputy mayor.
Alderman Rankin.
Second.
Second, Alderman Ford. All in favor? Against? Carried. Council meeting dates. Motion to approve.
I would move those.
Alderman Harcourt. Seconder. Alderman Lazari. All in favor? Against? Carried. We have other business very quickly before us to approve. Report A, Manager's Report A, the authority to invest funds.
So moved, Your Worship.
Moved by Alderman Rankin.
Second.
Alderman Harcourt. Second.
Yep, second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Carried. Annual financial authority is also a formal motion to approve.
I'd so move.
Moved by Alderman Buell. Seconded Alderman Rosario. All in favor? Against? Carried. Alderman Little, would you be good enough to come forward, please? Alderman Little, I want to congratulate you on your election as a member of this council and to present you with your badge of office. And I want to wish you well and every success in your term of office. don't have one for you, Alderman Boyce.
Don't have it.
You got one before.
Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that completes the formalities of our inaugural meeting, and I'm going to call on a motion to adjourn, and then we do invite you all, please, to join us in the outer hall for refreshments.
So moved.
And I do thank you all very much for being here this afternoon.
So moved.
Well, I'll be.